and sing like never before. Oh, my soul worships His holy name. Sun comes up. The sun comes up. It's a new day dawning. It's time to sing your song again. In love, Lord, you're rich in love, and you're slow to anger. Your name is great, and your heart is kind. For all your goodness, I will keep on singing. 10,000 reasons for my heart.
Bless your name, oh God. Amen. No what's this thing, that song, I am the God that healeth thee, amen. How many can be raise their hand to that, a testimony of that, that he is the God that's healed you? He'll always heal you, amen, because he already did it before the foundation of the world, amen. And I am the God that healeth thee. I am the Lord, your healer. I sent my word and I healed your disease. I am the Lord, your healer. I am the Lord that healeth thee. I am the Lord, your healer. And I sent my word and I healed your disease. I am the Lord, your healer. You are the God, you are the God that healeth me. You are the Lord, my healer. You sent your word and you healed my disease. You are the Lord, my healer. You are the God that saved my soul. You are the God, my Savior. You sent your word and forgave all my sins. You are the God, my... Sing that verse again. You are the God, you are the God. Forgave all my sin. You are the God, my Savior. You sent your word, and you sent your word, and you healed my disease. You are the Lord, my healer. We are standing on holy ground. Oh, and I know that there are angels, they're all around, so let us pray.
to get everything cleaned up, and we got a couple things to do in here, put some doors in and stuff like that, so all that can attend would be good. Amen.
Amen.
And I think the only thing I can think of is Adam, the Simon and them's cousin, Adam that painted this place. He said it was pretty cheap what he did for us, and he said, well, he said, just pray for me. So I said, amen, we'll pray for you then. So amen. So pray for Adam, amen. Just that God would bless him, amen, especially for doing it so cheap for us, amen, and that just God would just move in his life, amen. Amen. But just ask Brother Simon if you come with us in order of prayer, amen. Also the tithes and the offering.
When we went to, I believe it's Nate Parsons' viewing there, got to witness quite a few there in line. Adam came right up. He was way back in line. He came right up right next to me, and he started talking about the Word. He's hungry for the Lord. He's keeping prayer, and he's got a real sweet spirit about him, a real kind heart. So I pray God bless him. He's heard a lot, and, heard a lot of, about the Word. Love you tonight, God, Lord, and Lord Jesus, Lord, as our this day draws near, God, Lord, to Lord, you coming down and grabbing your wife, Lord, God, out of this earth, Lord, we're looking forward to it, God, Lord, and Lord, we're looking forward to that day, God, that wedding day, Lord Jesus, Lord, we'll be reunited and for us, united with you forever, God, Lord Jesus, Lord, and to be forever with you, God, Lord, under your protective wing, God, to Lord, as you throughout eternity, Lord God, you unfold yourself, God, and Lord, we get to know you better, Lord, as time or eternity goes on, God, and we just longing for that day, God, and we want to live as close as we can to you,
yeah,
God, Lord Jesus, Lord, and Lord, be with our pastor, God, he brings this word, God, Lord, and Lord, this may not be just a regular Wednesday service,
yeah.
Lord, but Lord, let's just get all the things on our mind off of him, Lord God, and let's just concentrate right on your word, God, and pull, Lord God, and worship you the way we're supposed to be, God, and Lord, help us all, Lord, just to get loose, and if there be any starch on us, God, just shake us, God, Lord,
yes,
and just
Lord.
Get us right in your perfect will, God. We love you so much, Lord.
Yes.
Bless the tithes and offerings, Lord, for the musicians and song leaders, Lord, for the congregation. Bless those that came, God, and those that could, God. Lord, thank you for taking care of each one of us, Lord. We love you so much. We ask all these things. And Lord, be with our cousin Adam here, God, Lord. And Lord, we just have your special, give a little something special to him, God, Lord. And Lord, knowing that you still care about him and love him, Lord, that you want him to serve you all the days of his life. God bless him and keep him, God, Lord. We ask all these things in the name of Jesus Christ.
Sing that song. Let the church say amen, amen. How many knows amen means so be it, amen? We just, whatever God's word has for us, we want to say amen to everything of it, amen.
Let the church say amen. Let the church say. Let the church say amen. Amen, amen. Do you love him? Amen. Do you serve him? Do you believe him? Amen, amen, amen. Let the church say, just let the church say, hey, let the church say, amen, amen, amen. Do you believe him? Hey. Oh, will you love him? Oh, will you serve him? Amen, amen, amen. Amen. I believe it is the word of God. Amen, amen. I'll sing it like this. Let the bride say, let the bride say, let the bride say, amen, amen. Keep your comedy. Ready to meet you. Come, Lord Jesus. Amen, amen, amen.
seated, amen. That would have our sister Wendy come forth. She has a song special on her heart, amen.
Amen. I have this song the whole day, and I only have one verse. So I tried to look it up online. I could not find it. So I start writing, and apparently this song is really easy to plug word in. I have 2 pages, so amen, praise God. So a little bit homemade, but praise God. Pleasing, I wanna be pleasing to you. Everything I do, be pleasing to you. Praying that everything that I do be pleasing, O Lord, unto you. Praising, I want to give praises to you. Everything I do, give praises to you. Praying that everything that I do, giving praises unto you. I wanna be glowing for you. Everything I do, be glowing for you. Praying that everything that I do shine and glow for you. Loving, I wanna be in love with you. Everything I do, be loving to you. Praying that everything that I do be lovely, O Lord, unto you. Walking, I want to walk closer to you. Everything I do, draw closer to you. Praying that every day that I journey through, walk closer, dear Lord, unto you. Pressing, I wanna press to seek you. Everything I do, be praying to you. Praying that everything that I do be pleasing, O Lord, unto you.
Just sing that song, come by here, my Lord, come by me here. How many need him here tonight, amen? Every day, every hour, every second, every minute of the day, we need him to come by, amen. And come by here, my Lord, come by here. Come by here, my Lord, come by here. Come by here, dear Lord, come by here. Oh, Lord. Sing that again. We need your presence. Oh,
we need your presence. Just come by here. Oh, we need your presence, Lord. Oh, we need your presence, Lord. Come by here. And oh, oh, come by. Come by here, Lord. Come by here, my Lord. Just come by.
Song, he brought me out of the miry clay, he put my feet on the rock to stay, amen. That's where desire is, to stay on that rock, amen, to walk on that firm foundation, amen.
My heart was distressed neath Jehovah's dread frown, and low in the pit where my sins dragged me down, I cried to the Lord from the deep miry clay, who tenderly brought me out to golden day, and he brought me out of the miry clay, and he set my feet on a rock to stay, and he put a
start that over, amen. When pains of death, amen. Amen.
When pains of death seize on my soul, unto the I cry, till Jesus came and he made me whole, I would not be denied. Oh no, I would not be denied. No, I would not be denied. Till Jesus came and he made me whole, I would not be denied. As Jacob, oh, as Jacob in the days of old, I wrestled with the Lord.
An instant,
oh, an instant with the current bold, I stood upon his word. Oh, no, I would not be denied. No, I would not be denied. Till Jesus came and he made me whole, I would not be denied. And old Satan,
let's sing that last verse tonight. Let's make that devil mad.
Hey. Then my Lord was gone, and he would not hear my prayer.
Oh, but praise the Lord, this work is done, and Christ the Lord is here. Oh, Lord, I would not be denied.
Old Satan said, oh, but praise the Lord, the work is done, and Christ my Lord is here. Oh Lord, I would not be denied. No, I would not be denied. For my Jesus came and he made me whole, I would not be denied. Oh Lord, I would not be denied. No, I would not be denied. For my Jesus came and he made me whole, I would not be denied.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. Good to be a Christian tonight. Amen. Amen. Praise God. We have a slightly colored church now. Cousin Adam coming paying today. I think they did a wonderful job. Amen. We're that much closer to being done. Hallelujah! I know all you were wanting to jump on them chandeliers. I could see it coming, but we already pulled them all out. So tonight's not your night for that, but you can still holy roll. Praise God. Amen. So good to be a Christian tonight. Amen. Good to be in the house of God. Amen. Good to see everybody's got smiles on their face. Happy to be Christians. Happy to have that hope. Amen. I mean, we'd like to jump into the Word of God tonight. Sure love Brother Dave. Sometimes he's singing a home run. Want you to come hit a home run with him. Praise God. We do our best and get with it. But anyway, just have want to move a little bit off church ages tonight. Just want to do a little evangelical sermon by the grace of God. Kind of felt led the Lord come this way. And we'll try to put a few things together for you. And should the Lord will, we'll just enjoy ourselves in the house of God. You know, I even the sermon I preached Sunday, you know, I know it's a little bit, sometimes you think it just feels a little bit close to home. Amen. Because you realize that this is the day and age that we're living here at the coming of the Lord. We know things aren't going to get easier, but things are going to progressively get worse. And we've been watching it for some of us for most of our lives, some for all your lives. But anyway, we just want to have that right mindset as far as why we're here, what's going on, and just to really be under the proper expectation of the things that God's going to do. Amen. So tonight we want to work with a few little thoughts there, and we'll see if the Lord will put it together for us. Got a whole bunch of notes here. I have some of my own thoughts over there, but I find out things never just quite come the way I think they're going to come. So I'm praying that they kind of come tonight like I don't think they're going to come. Amen. Because that means that something is taken over and someone is preaching you how he'd like. Amen. So if we had our Bibles tonight, I'd like us to open to Romans 11, 34. After that, we're going to go to Mark 8, verse 27. So in Romans 11, verse 34, it says here, "For who hath known the mind of the Lord? Or who hath been his counselor? Or who hath first given to him, and it shall be recompensed unto him again?" So we're kind of in a backed up position now, aren't we? Verse 36, "For of him and through him and to him are all things, to whom be glory forever. Amen." Praise God. Mark 8:27. We realize that this parallels also with Matthew 16 as well. But not fully a direction. There's a little hidden thing that we're trying to get to tonight. If we can try to work into it. Very simple message, but I want us to have the right focus right now. You see, we're sitting here at this church like this. We're sitting here in our own lives like you might be looking at your life tonight. And we have things that we're waiting to happen, right? We're expecting them to happen. And I want us to be under that mindset. And I believe the Lord is in leading this is kind of in the same thoughts that I am. Amen. Even though he first had them. Mark 8:27, it says here, "And Jesus went out and his disciples into the towns of Caesarea Philippi. And by the way, he asked his disciples, saying unto them, Whom do men say that I am? And they answered, John the Baptist. But some say, Elias, and others, one of the prophets. And he saith unto them, But whom say ye that I am? And Peter answereth and saith unto him, Thou art the Christ." Amen. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer as we get into the sermon tonight. Our most beloved Lord Jesus Christ, we certainly love you tonight, God, and we're here to offer our whole selves to you, God. Forgive us for unbelief. Forgive us for anything that we fell short of, God. We're here to worship the King of Glory tonight, the God of gods, Lord. Lord, the very one that we're looking forward to being with for eternity, God. We know there's only one way, God. It is, oh God, not just to ask you in your heart, God, but Lord, today we have to be baptized and filled with the Holy Ghost, God. Oh God, we know we're either that, oh God, or else we're going to be finding ourselves at a great white throne judgment, Lord. So Lord, we don't want to fall short of all these things, God. We want to be right on the stage, oh God, or right on the order of events, God, that you'd have us to be, God. And tonight, oh God, we just pray, Lord, you'd order the word for your children, God. Oh God, may we hear from heaven directly, God. May you speak, Lord. And God, I pray tonight, oh God, as Lord, I get myself out of the way of the church, oh God, as they move themselves, God, certainly, God, we'd see a mighty move of God upon our lives, God. We just ask, God, tonight, Lord, as we're seeing things finished, God, we want you to finish something in our life tonight, God. Oh, God, settle the questions, God. Settle any doubts, God. And God, move us away, oh, God, so far away from our flesh that all we can see is the Word, God. That's our desire, Lord. Bring that thirst, oh, God, to an end by filling that with thy precious Spirit and presence, God. In the name of Jesus Christ, God, we dedicate this service to you now, praying and saying, Amen. You may be seated. If we had a title for this evening's sermon, we'd like to entitle it, Expecting the Unexpected God. And by the grace of God, we'll perhaps make a little sense out of this. And we understand, getting into this, that what is the word expect actually mean? And we know that even within the message itself, that expectations was preached no short of 20 times. And by the grace of God, it was something that we're constantly looking for, and it was something that the church needed to raise their faith, actually needed to see who they were, as far as even to get into divine healing as simply as it could be stated, amen? But yet, the word expect means to look for, very simply, and it means to have a previous apprehension of something future, amen? So, you're basically, you have this feeling about you that something is coming, although you have no evidence that it's there, as far as you can't say, okay, there it is. But yet you're expecting that, or you have this apprehension, this little nervousness about you that says that something's going to happen, right?
Amen. Amen.
And like I said, this is pretty good to me. And it says, whether good or evil, to entertain at least a slight belief that an event will happen. So when we look at to expect, you really actually have something that's actually dwelling there, maybe something that's moving quite a bit and actually telling you that something's on its way, okay? And I want to maybe start out with another quotation just to kind of help that out a little bit. In Expectation 61, in E19, it says, now I want to take the subject of expectation. Now, before you can have expectation, there must be faith to accompany that expectation. What is faith? Faith is a substance. Faith is something within you. And like I said, tonight we might be doing a little bit of here and there, and we'll see where God puts us at. But I want us to think about this, that anything that you say you expect, for it to happen, there must be a faith that accompanies that. All right? Faith is a substance. So actually, faith being a revelation, that means that it's already there. So when you expect something, and there's actually a faith that's with it, that means that it's actually prophecy on its way to be fulfilled. Okay? Very simply, that's what it is. And I want you to think that way, because I want you to know that whatever you have within you, you have to look at that with an expectation. But not a hope, not a thought, not maybe, maybe, maybe. But actually allow a faith to accompany that expectation, okay? Because if you expect that, that means it's going to happen, right? As crazy can be, if you really have a faith next to that expectation, it will have to come. You say, oh, I want a soul to be saved. I'll tell you what, if you had a faith right next to that, I might as well join right with you. Because that's going to happen. I didn't expect that. You see, I didn't have faith that that was going to happen, and I almost took a flop. But thank God there's a God that caught me. But tonight we want to work with the thought of expecting the unexpected God, okay? And I want us to understand that now how I'm going to be working with this tonight is that you literally are looking at God, and God is looking right back at you, and He has a full, infinite knowledge of what His Word is. He knows every event, everything that's going to happen. He has everything so figured out from now into eternity that what? There's no questioning God. And that's why we start off with the scripture that who hath known the mind of God? We don't know the mind of God, but yet the Bible says who hath known the mind of God, but it says even yet we have the mind of Christ. So we're actually packing the God that knows everything. And because we have that gene attribute of God, God, because He's in the mind, because He's what? He wants to take over that mind. He wants to express what's in that seed of yours if you can get behind that mind. But like we've said so many times, first you have to see that you have the Holy Ghost and you know that that's what's talking in your mind to begin with. Praise God. Try all the spirits, right? Amen. So notice as we continue on, I just want us to get just a little thought as we begin to rise into this. Because I want you to see that so many times God knows so much more than you do. And I do. Amen. And He's so far ahead of us that sometimes it's absolutely embarrassing to ourselves to see God so far ahead of us that we weren't even we couldn't even get a grasp of what He was trying to do. Amen. Okay? So I want to start out in Jeremiah 20, verse 7. If we just want to, like I said, I'm laying a little foundation right now with this thought. But I want us to understand that here, Jeremiah has, so to say, a few things moving upon his mind. And in Jeremiah 20, verse 7, it says, O Lord, Thou hast deceived me, and I was deceived. Thou art stronger than I, and hast prevailed. I am in derision daily, everyone mocketh me. For since I spake, I cried out. I cried violence and spoil, because the word of the Lord was made a reproach unto me in a derision daily. Then I said, I will not make mention of him, nor speak any more in his name. Notice. But his word was in my heart, as a burning fire shut up in my bones. And I was weary with forbearing, and I could not stay. So notice Jeremiah here. He says, God, you deceived me. And we understand if we read a little bit earlier in this that he was actually started to bring under the punishment of Israel. I believe they threw him in stocks, if I remember correctly. But anyway, here they are, and Jeremiah calls to God, and he says, God, you're smarter than me. You fooled me, God. You had it all figured out what was going to happen the whole time, and I didn't have a clue.
Amen. That's right.
You're stronger than me. Now, isn't this something? Because the very God, what does this have to do with expectations? You're going to find out. But I want us to understand that the Word, what God told Jeremiah that before your mother, you were even formed in your mother's womb, you were a prophet and I knew thee. God already had it figured out what was going to happen. And God would eventually in Jeremiah's life, if you'd like to turn to Jeremiah 1, he would actually come to Jeremiah and show him what the word would say.
Amen.
To him about his life, about his commission, about what he was there for.
Amen, brother.
And Jeremiah picks up and he runs with it until he gets to Jeremiah 20. So in Jeremiah 1 verse 8, we find out God speaking. It says, "Be not afraid of their faces, for I am with thee to deliver thee, saith the Lord. Then the Lord put forth his hand and touched my mouth. And the Lord said unto me, Behold, I have put my words in thy mouth. See, I have this day set thee over the nations and over the kingdoms." To root out, to pull down. And what else? Destroy. Jeremiah, this is your calling. To root up, pull down, destroy, and throw down. We ain't talking about no cage match in the basement, church. But this is the word prophecy to the word prophet. So let's continue to build and to plant. So Jeremiah is the complete prophet. He's an absolute destroyer. Just ask him at this point in time. He'll tell you exactly what he's been called for. I'm here to root out Israel. I'm here to plant and to build them up. I got a lot of good things going on here. He was given a word, expectation. But we find, let's continue on. Let me read you a little bit more there. Jeremiah 1:17. Moving down, it says, "Thou therefore gird up thy loins and arise and speak unto them all that I command thee. Be not dismayed at their faces, lest I confound thee before thee. For behold, I have made thee this day a defense city." You can't touch a defense city. Let's continue. "And an iron pillar." An iron pillar? That's what they make buildings of this day. And they're still standing, this building. There's one iron piece of pipe, 3 inches, that's holding up that whole portion of the building. They're made to stay.
Amen.
You can't break them down.
Amen.
Unless you got a Sawzall. Or a Metabo. But then you're asking for trouble now, aren't you? Now let's continue here. So he says, "Brazen walls are against the whole land." He says, "Judgment is against this land, against the kings of Judah, against the princes thereof, against the priests thereof, and against the people of the land. And they shall fight against thee, but they shall not prevail against thee, for I am with thee, saith the Lord, to deliver thee." So notice he's given a word expectation. The word says something that he is. But when he's in stocks and bonds, down in the 20th chapter, he cries to God and said, "God, I don't remember this in the prophet resume. When I filled it out, you said that I was a defense city. You said that I was going to root down and tear apart." And here he finds himself in stocks. You move down a little bit more, he finds himself in the dung pile, right? They throw him and feed him with the bread of sorrows and the bitter waters and so forth. And that was the word given to him. Hallelujah. Saying something here. You picking up? You see, just because you read the word does not mean that you have exactly what that word says about you. But God, remember, if I remember correctly, Jeremiah was actually one of the martyrs. Isaiah was sawed in half. I don't remember what Jeremiah was, but pretty much all the attested prophets, they killed them all. And God said, I will deliver thee. Where's God at? What's God saying? Well, that's what I want you to have in mind. Now, before I get to what we're trying to move with tonight, I want you to fully see that what the Word says about it. When the Word says something just like it said in Isaiah 40 about how John the Baptist would do the same thing. There John the Baptist was. Capital punishment. Prisonment. And here he was fulfilling that word. Because God looks not like you and I look. God sees the full picture. God sees that when that word comes forth, it has a message to proclaim. And your path, though you may think it is something, it might not always be exactly what you think it is. All right. So should we continue? Now, we're working with expecting the unexpected God. And I want you to come out and show you just a little bit because you see, here's the great difference between them, between Jeremiah the prophet and you. You have the revealed word. Amen. Jeremiah did not even have the Messiah on the scene yet. But even within Jeremiah's confusion, you understand that Jeremiah, there he was. He was buying the field. And what? Taking the deed of the purchase. Amen. He was actually doing the seals right there. And he didn't even have a clue.
Amen. Yeah.
Right. I'll be honest with you. I don't believe he had a clue when he died.
Right.
But he's got a clue now.
Amen.
Praise God. Now, I want you to see this because your word's revealed, but it is vaguely revealed.
Amen.
As far as I don't know every little detail that's going to happen to Sister Wendy. I don't know. You don't know. She don't know. Nobody knows except for him.
Amen.
But, like I said, when you begin to watch the scriptures unfold, I want us to see that you have to, when you are born of this word, you can have a word expectation. Because you know what the promise is going to be, okay? You know exactly what's on its way. We know that Revelation 13 has to play out. There has to be a mark of the beast. There has to be a crackdown on the churches, right?
Amen.
The Protestant churches.
Amen.
Right. Not evangelical, the Protestant churches. Because the evangelical churches will go into the system, but we find ourselves, we will stand, right?
Amen.
Now this is going to be pretty good. I pray you'll stay with me a little bit. Because I want to fully identify this in your mind, just so you can catch what I'm talking about. Because I want you to understand that you have to have an expectation of an unexpected God. That God, you don't know fully what he's going to do, how he's going to do it, and when he's going to do it. But I want us to look in the scripture and to get a picture of where we're seated at, okay? So I want us to start out, if we could, in Malachi 3, verse 1. I'm going to take you through a little word trail here. I pray you'll enjoy yourself. I'm enjoying it. I just. Now, what is Malachi 3:1? How many scholars do we got here? We should know this. What is Malachi 3? John the Baptist. Man. Ooh, I told you we had some theologians. So notice, and the fourth is the same. And it's the last, and it's the last prophet too. You get all of them. Behold, I send Elias. So notice here in Malachi 3:1. I love God. Aren't you happy to be here? Where else would you rather be? You got a nice painted building. And don't look at the rest of it. It's coming. So notice Malachi 3:1, it says, behold, I will send my messenger, and he shall prepare the way before me. And the Lord whom ye seek shall suddenly come to his temple. Even the messenger of the covenant, whom ye delight in, behold, he shall come, saith the Lord of hosts. But who may abide in the day of his coming? And who shall stand when he appeareth? For he is like a refiner's fire and like fuller's soap. Okay? So I want us to start out here. He's sending a messenger before his face. And every time we read in a message, he's talking about John the Baptist, right? But I want to go into this a little bit and show you a few things, because I want you to see an unexpected God.
Amen.
Okay? Now, in reading this scripture, we find really quickly here, he's here to prepare the way. Who? The messenger. Prepare the way for who? The Messiah. So he's here to prepare the way for Jesus Christ. Okay? But notice this right here. The scripture continues and says, and the Lord whom ye seek. So we find that actually God himself, the one that they're seeking. The scripture says, shall suddenly come to his temple. Now, here's the thing I want you to catch. The word suddenly actually means unexpectedly. Okay? So notice here, according to the Strong's, when you get in there and you read those things out, it means suddenly or unexpectedly. Okay? So notice here it says, the Lord whom you seek shall suddenly, unexpectedly, come to his temple, even the messenger of the covenant. So notice here it says something about Jesus. It says that he's going to suddenly come.
Amen.
Where? Into his temple.
Amen.
So Jesus Christ, the unexpected God, would actually come to his temple wanting to find expectation. Now, are you ready for the fulfillment of this? Let's go to the fulfillment of this. Matthew 21, verse 12. You want to parallel it later? It's John 2, 13 through 17. So Matthew 21, 12. Notice this God. He's going to suddenly come into the temple. Let's get a further view of this. In the 20th verse, or the 12th verse, it says, and Jesus went into the temple of God and cast out all them that sold and bought in the temple, and overthrew the tables of the money changers and the seats of them that sold doves. And said unto them, it is written, my house shall be called a house of prayer, but ye have made it a den of thieves. Notice God coming to them, also in John 2. He comes, the Lord, the one they're seeking, suddenly. He comes unexpectedly. Why? They did not expect God to be throwing the money changers out, to be calling it a den of thieves, to be absolutely tearing up their denominational religion. But the good thing about that is, there are some that actually had the right expectation. Let's continue. 14th verse. It says, and the blind and the lame came to him in the temple. And he healed them. And when the chief priests and scribes saw the wonderful things that he did, and the children crying in the temple and saying, Hosanna to the Son of David, they were sore displeased. And said unto him, hearest thou what these say? And Jesus saith unto him, yea, have ye never read out of the mouth of babes and sucklings, thou hast perfected grace? They called him Hosanna. They called him God.
Amen.
This is the law. And here we find the fulfillment of the word.
Amen.
Isn't that amazing? Here, God in Malachi 3 tells them how he's coming. Even lays down the scenario of how it will happen. Because why? He said, I'll send a messenger, and then I'm going to be coming in your temple.
Amen.
He sets everything before him. And when he gets there, they say, I'm pretty displeased about this whole thing. Actually, I'm a little sore displeased. But that's amazing, because they could not see the word. Their lack wasn't that they did not see a miracle, that they did not see God himself. The issue was that they did not have the revealed word to tell them every little thing about it. But God didn't fully reveal it. Just like he did not reveal the seventh seal.
Amen.
The seventh seal is for a called out people.
Amen.
Tell me all about it. Oh, I'm glad. Yes, he's going this way. No, I'm not. You see, what separated the Pharisees and Sadducees from the blind and the lame? We know historically that you could actually have the Pharisees and Sadducees close their eyes and put their finger on the scroll and they'd be able to tell you what word it was. They knew their Bible that much. And the blind and lame, the blind couldn't even read. The lame couldn't even walk. They're too busy trying to fend to stay alive. And they caught the Messiah. They cried, Hosanna!
Amen.
They knew who it was. Now, I want to just move with this just a little bit farther. If we could, in John 1:19. Don't you love the Word of God?
Amen.
John 1:19, it says, and this is the record of John. When the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, who art thou? And he confessed and denied not, but confessed, I am not the Christ. He's not the Messiah. He tells them. And they ask him, what then? Art thou Elias? And he said, I am not. Art thou that prophet? And he answered, no. Then said they unto him, who art thou? That we may give an answer to them that sent us. What sayest thou of thyself? And he said, I am one, the voice of one crying in the wilderness. Make straight the way of the Lord, as said the prophet Isaiah. And they which were sent were of the Pharisees. And they asked him and said unto him, why baptizest thou then, if thou be not that Christ? Here he told them, I'm the messenger.
Right,
I'm not the Christ.
Amen.
I'm not even the Elias that you think's coming.
Right.
And now they ask him again, well, why are you baptizing if you're not that Christ, nor Elias, neither that prophet? My question is, who's that prophet?
Right.
don't really think they knew. Because who outside of the Messiah and the forerunner were they looking for? They didn't know. They were so confused when he did not identify himself with what they were looking for. They couldn't even keep up with him. And John answered them, saying, I baptize with water, but there standeth one among you whom you know not. He it is who coming after me is preferred before me, whose shoes latchet I am not worthy to unloose. Amazing. So he says there's one coming. He's not even worthy to loose his sandals. And yet we find here they still don't know who he is. They had an idea, but they just couldn't figure it out according to their theology. Notice my fingers moving around my ears and so forth. So notice, in absolute confusion about what time it was. They had a word expectation. But they were looking just like Jeremiah. They were seeing it in a way that it wasn't going to happen. You couldn't tell Peter and the disciples that it wasn't him. You could not tell Peter and Andrew when I believe it was John, send them come running for the Messiah. You couldn't tell them to stay with John the Baptist. They found the Messiah. Well, wait a minute. Where's the 50 questions? They just followed the word. Hallelujah. So, we see here in building this that there's actually something happening. God coming upon them unexpectedly, which he calls suddenly. And because he comes suddenly, the one that they're seeking, they don't even see. Praise God. So now, let's move a little bit forward if we can. Making sense? I want you to see, because this word suddenly is actually so, it fits right where it needs to fit. Okay? Acts 2:1. Oh, you know I'm going there. I can't preach without going here. Amen. You need the Holy Ghost more than you got him. Amen. If you think you got him, get him. Amen. If you think you're short on him, get more. Amen. Wherever you're at, get him. Amen. The rapture's almost here. Yeah. Lord. Hallelujah. Okay, who wants to pray with me 4 hours after service? I'll leave that one right there. Acts 2:1 says, and when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly, unexpectedly, there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. You know what suddenly means? Unexpectedly. They didn't expect him to come. They did not understand what was going to happen. They couldn't figure it out. There wasn't a chance for them to figure it out. All they had was the written word there, and half of them were illiterate and could hardly read or write. So the Holy Ghost has to come upon them unexpectedly. There they were. They know they seen God. They knew God did something. He had risen from the dead. But they had no idea what he was trying to do. All they knew is that he said, go tarry in Jerusalem. Remember, He didn't say go up to the upper room. He said go tarry in Jerusalem. He didn't say go to this address. And we'll make sure you're hiding upstairs because you're cowards. He didn't give them no direction like that. He said, go tarry in Jerusalem. They got to Jerusalem. Perhaps somebody looked at Peter again. Said, aren't you one of his disciples? Peter says, yep. I think that upper room is where we're going to go, guys. Now remember, the only thing that they were in one accord with, those 120 right from the first day, was that they're going to be in an upper room. They didn't know how long to be there. They didn't know how long it was going to take to finish that church. Oh, gee, I say that. They just didn't have a clue what really was going on. They went up that upper room and seen them pews all tore up. Say, yeah, I guess we'll stay here for 10 days. They didn't know they were going to be there 10 days. Remember, you read it time and time again. What if on day 6 they would have said, yeah, I think we've got enough. We've got it now. They would have never got it. And they didn't even know what they were waiting for. How did they know what they were waiting for if they had never had that outpouring on them before? Come on. Church, I am going through revival after revival. I've went through Finney, and it's made me a lover of Finney. I've went through Azusa Street. It's made me a lover of Azusa Street. We are still moving through this message, this revival, the greatest revival that's ever struck this earth.
Amen.
Up till now.
Right.
And I am completely obsessed with revival.
Amen.
I just wish I'd get so obsessed with it that I'd get every ounce of trash out of my life. And I'd be just like William Seymour and say, Brother Steve, we're going to pray 7 hours tonight, buddy.
Amen.
You look at the histories. They were praying into the hours of the morning.
Amen.
And waking up the next day and going to jobs. Not William Seymour, the guy that he was staying with. Seymour was taking it easy because he didn't have a job. Everything okay in the front row? We need to have prayer? Did he, Sean? I told you suddenly. But I want us to see that now I'm even getting into Jonathan Edwards. And Edwards would literally, every day, he would leave for the church at 5 o'clock in the morning and he wouldn't come home till 7. He'd study and pray all that time, daily. Oh, Lord Jesus, how are we going to do this? Oh, praise God. Don't you worry about that. Because you see what you're doing. You're trying to make an expectation. Well, you know what? If two of us don't pray 6 hours a day, it's never going to strike here. Whoa, 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 whoa. What's that? Is that your creed? Well, I know how we think. Well, God just can't bring it right here without us praying like we're supposed to. Is that your creed? Well, I just got more things I need to get right with right in my life with God. Whoa. Another creed. Because when we begin to look at the movements, you find that it was nothing that they did. But it was always God coming at the time of His expected word, unexpectedly. He would come suddenly. Acts, it was suddenly. Jesus Christ, suddenly.
Amen.
John the Baptist, suddenly.
Amen, brother.
He come in a way that they did not expect. Hallelujah.
Amen.
come rolling out of Kentucky without any education, without a theological father, without a mother that was deeply embedded in church. They look and say, oh, this is Beelzebub. Why? Because they can't see the Word. The Word is speaking, but it takes the mind of Christ to sit under the expectation of that Word. Hallelujah. Praise God. Now, I want to read you something here very quickly. I hope I'm not getting out of time. The Unchangeable God, 1960, E22. It says, the woman at the well, she said, Sir, Messiah cometh. We know, and he will tell us all these things. You must be his prophet. He said, I'm he that speaks to you. She ran into the city and said, come see a man. Unexpected she was to find a man like that. The woman at the well. Five husbands living with one that wasn't her own. And the seventh come. She didn't expect the seventh husband to be the Word. But the Word come to her. And the Word expressed himself. And when the Word expressed, she responded to that Word. She got in one accord with the Word. Because her actions, she ran down to Samaria. So notice, unexpected was she to find the Messiah on earth, dwelling among his people. She found the Messiah. Now, she knew there was a Messiah, but obviously she was a woman. She was not well trained in that day. She perhaps has heard it, but it quickened the Word unexpectedly. Oh. Notice this. This is where I'm running at. So it is today. The people don't expect. They're expecting something else. They're expecting bobs and things to fall. Which probably will be. They're expecting some great union amongst the church people. Now, it may be. But in the midst of all that, God has sent the power of His Son, Jesus Christ, among the people. And they're having a new Pentecost, the power of God being poured out, and the same signs and wonders that they did many years ago is in the midst of the people, as Jesus said it would be. We don't look for a unionized among all the churches and things. We look for an outpouring of the Holy Ghost, and it'll come and do things that we might not be expecting. So what was he doing? The things that he's seen were going to happen, the bad things, he didn't dwell on those things. He said it might be happening right now. Hallelujah. I don't care where Obama went to grade school at. Even though it is pretty interesting. What we need to focus on, not say, oh no, here it is. But what we need to focus on is the promise of the Word for this day. Because notice, if we look for the right thing, will get the right thing. Because remember what you're talking about now. What was expectation? Expectation is the slight belief that something is going to happen. Now, I'm downgrading that because it actually is the anxiousness that follows the belief that something is going to happen. So why can't I focus on every beautiful conspiracy theory? Because that does not bring the Word forth. I want you to catch that. Because what does that bring forth? It brings forth fear. Right? You look in the news, tell me how many of you get done and say, hallelujah, this is awesome. If you are saved, you can't think that way. Why? Because everything's aimed right at you. Oh, that old truth. Why has it always got to come out? Oh, thank God. You see, but if we focus on the reality of our substance, why am I here? Am I here to get took to a concentration camp? No! Am I here to go into a union? Am I here? Let's go down. I mean, you want to go down the list? Am I here to be tormented? Am I here to suffer and to suffer and to suffer? Well, that's what's happening right around us. I mean, look at some of the things that are happening to people. That's why, you know what, church? It's just better if we stay just like Abraham out in the wilderness. Because you know what? At the end of the day, it doesn't matter if Obama's a Jesuit, a Muslim. If he goes to Jeffersonville, it doesn't matter. It don't. What's that got to do with what you are? Thank God he's getting you where you need to be. But to dwell on something that you cannot change for the better. If you've got any Holy Ghost in you at all, you want things to be good. You want a nice life. You want peace. Notice, Paul said, pray that you live peaceful lives. There was no peaceful lives. And they're throwing him in the lion's cage. In an arena, let them get ate. They're killing them like left and right. Said, pray that you live a peaceful life. Well, hallelujah. But what was it? You have to have the word revelation for where you're seated. Because what your revelation is what you are. Right? Like I said, you know, me and Brother Simon used to talk all the time, and I used to say all the time, I say, man, be awesome to be a martyr for God. I used to say that. Brother Simon said too, I think. You gonna admit that? Let's continue. You need me to speak up a little bit, huh? So, as we continue to look at this, I want us to get a little bit more of a picture here. Notice how God works. Upper room, suddenly. Okay, we played that pretty good now. Acts 16, 25. Says, and at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God. The prisoners heard them, and suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened and everyone's hands were loosed. There they were, in jail, stocks and bonds. We just got done talking about this. And they're singing praise to God. Hallelujah. I'm in the jail. Hallelujah. God, I love you. You know, you see how good I am at writing songs. So let's continue. So what? Unexpectedly, all they were doing was what? The joy of the Lord is our strength. They're sitting in a position grateful, knowing whatever state that I'm in, therefore to be content therein. And because they were in that position, God could what? Allow the unwritten word at that time to come forth in their life. Suddenly, the expected God, who brought an unexpected baptism of the Holy Ghost in the upper room, could now come again to those with the Holy Ghost unexpectedly again and fulfill the purpose word in their lives. Hallelujah. Acts 22. This is in, I believe, Acts 9 as well. I wrote down this one for some reason. That's all right. It says, and it came to pass that as I made my journey, Paul telling his testimony, was come nigh unto Damascus about noon, suddenly there shone from heaven a great light round about me. And I fell to the ground and heard a voice saying to me, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And I answered, who art thou, loud Lord? And he said unto me, I am Jesus of Nazareth, whom thou persecutest. Good enough. Now notice what this all is. This is God coming to people unexpectedly. They were 120 gathered up there and they didn't fully know how God was going to do it. They just knew they had a promise. That's why I like this right here the best. We don't know how it's going to happen. We don't know when, but we know it is. So what do we need? What element do you have? The only thing we can do is get in one accord and expect the unexpected. Come on, can you make God come here tonight? Well, you've seen how God can come. Amen. You get in one accord. God will come on by. Amen. But what we're looking for the bride's revival. Amen. We've had plenty of one service anointings. Yeah. Plenty of seeing a few things, but we want to see it. Amen. We want to see our whole lives transformed and look just like that word. Amen. So now, notice lastly here, and then I'm going to get to a few quotes and let you go. Mark 13:35 says here, watch ye therefore, for ye know not when the master of the house cometh, at even or at midnight, or at the cock crowing, or in the morning, lest coming suddenly he find you sleeping. Now, is that by chance? That's what's going to happen. We know that's what's going to happen. The scripture says he'll come as a thief in the night. Right? It says that also in 1 Thessalonians 4, 5. But notice, we find here it says, lest coming suddenly he find you sleeping. And what I say unto you, I say unto all, watch. So who's this for? What time period is this? He said, what I say to you, them there, I'm saying to all. Why does he have to say it to all? Because there will be a certain people in a certain time that will have to have a certain sudden coming to them. I believe that's now. It's later tonight. Oh God, you got to fill me with the Holy Ghost. Hurry up. God, let me know that I know that that I am ready right now. Because you know how we think. You know what? It breaks my heart when I hear people in denomination and people in non-denomination, they say, well, I know if I die tonight where I'm going. I think in my head, I said, oh, no, you don't. Because they don't even realize the word that they've turned down. They're just like the Pharisees and Sadducees. They thought it was all right. It's okay that one man would die to save a nation. They're right. He was going to die to save a nation. But what they didn't understand is that it was not for their better. They had chosen their path. They had killed the word. Church, let's not kill the word. So, what is that speaking about? Well, like I said, there was more we could go through because there's more in Luke 20, 24, I believe, talks about that as well. But yet, we find that we have to be ready for the coming of the Lord. It's our time because suddenly he's going to come. Now, I believe that suddenly he's going to come and do something powerful. Okay? Now, almost done. He says in expectation 61, he says, I believe in the Holy Ghost and the power of the Holy Ghost. I believe that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And I'm under expectation that he will rise up a church to go meet him with the same power it had in the beginning. Certainly, if we'll expect it, have faith in God and believe he's going to do it. Expectation. So wait. The people who are going to have the last day move on them are the people that have faith in expectation that God's going to do that for them. Oh, I believe. Yep. So notice. I want to read a few more things. And then we'll let you go. The unchangeable God working in an unexpected way. 62 E53. It says, when the churches back there was praying for revival, it come in an unexpected way. He got a bunch of some one-eyed colored man over here in California and a couple of hobos on the street and things like that and filled them with the Holy Ghost and started a fire that look where it's gone to now. It's the fastest growing church in the world. God does things in a way that you don't expect it. So God got it to a cross-eyed man, cross-eyed black man, and a bunch of hobos. All because they're in expectation. They believed that God was going to send them a revival. And they had a faith to accompany that. Well, I think I got enough faith for everybody here. Yes, Lord. Hallelujah. It's going to happen. Amen. Hallelujah. Yes, Lord. Where's my chandelier? Oh. Amen. Amen. So now let's continue on a little bit here. Here's what I want to read you. I won't hold you much longer. Unchangeable God, 1960, Brother E9. Says, well, we'll take for instance Moses. Moses was 80 years old. He was almost, you might think, too old for God to deal with. He was an old man, unexpected in his age to be dealt with God. Another thing, he was under Mount Horeb, an unexpected place. So he's got an unexpected age, an unexpected place he's at. And God met him at an unexpected age, at an unexpected place, in an unexpected way. God didn't meet Moses the way he usually met men. He met Moses in an unusual way, the way that he chose to meet Moses in. Hallelujah!
Amen.
That gets me excited.
Amen.
You know why? Because people say, yeah, it's a little too late for that ministry. Yeah, it's a little too late for that pastor. Yeah, it's a little too late for that congregation.
Wow.
I ain't a mind reader. I just know what's going on.
Wow.
You don't think they see that? When this message is so political,
wow,
and you constantly have to be striving and fighting to hold some sort of a message position with preachers and with people. I just had a brother call me, a well-known preacher, very well-known preacher. And he called me, and one of the first things out of his mouth, he said, this message ain't nothing but politics. He said, I just went to this big meeting, and he said, you want to talk about politics? He said, I was hearing it over the pulpit. I ain't telling you who. You just have to trust me. Big church. But he said, this brother will go preach for that brother, and this brother will go preach for that. And it's got to be this, and they got to be this tight-knit group, and they got to have this and got to have that. And I'm like, mercy God.
Come on,
I don't care about all that.
Yes,
but you know what? It shows where we're at. That's denomination.
Yes,
amen. That's why God has to do the things he's got to do. Israel and Egypt wasn't ready for deliverance. God sent them a deliverer and they didn't want him. Then God took the deliverer who didn't have his gifts yet, and he was what? 80 years old, up on a backside wilderness. And God is going to give him signs to fight with. And God come to him when it looked like nothing was going to happen. You know that man had given up. Scripture doesn't say he was crying out for Israel. Doesn't say that. God had to go tell him, go. And God just didn't send him a still voice. God sent a burning bush. God wanted to imprint that on somebody's mind. Because somebody already tried that game and didn't want to do it twice. You know what I'm saying? Come on. You know how it is. You get burnt once, you ain't going to shove your hand back up in that fire. Come on.
Amen.
Somebody hurts you, you're going to think twice about throwing yourself out there to get hurt again. You know it's the truth.
Amen.
Something happens bad at work, you ain't going to do that again.
Right. Come on.
Huh. My little boy running around the wood stove, you say, no, no, no. And he keeps on doing it. I say, well, he's going to learn, isn't he? He goes up there, whoop. He ain't never done it since.
Right.
He's not even interested in that thing no more.
Right.
But what is it? I tell him all day long, no. But he's going to find a way over there until he figures it out. But when God gives you a mission, you don't say, oh, hallelujah. We've had the Spirit of God here. Look what's happened. Look at the mess that's been here. You say, oh, I ain't going to praise God anymore. You got to praise God. Hallelujah. When you've seen the Shekinah glory and you looked at all the trouble, you got to say, hallelujah, I want to see that Shekinah again. Amen. When you felt the anointing of God dwelling around the church, hallelujah. You look at the trouble. You look at the pain.
Amen.
You say, hallelujah, God. Bring it on again if we got to.
Amen.
Because you're not in it for the pain. That just comes with the revival. Like I said, I told you I was reading Jonathan Edwards. Jonathan Edwards said, he said, it's impossible to think that a revival could happen without many stumbling blocks coming in the road and trying to hinder it.
That's good, brother.
Hallelujah. That's not in my notes. That's up in my head because I read it last night.
Come on, brother.
But that thing stuck up on me. Because you know what, church? If you think that this is some easy little thing to be the bride of Jesus Christ, think again. If you think that it's easy to love your brothers and sisters, even in this house of God, think again. Well, I know you all hug each other and act all lovey-dovey, but I'm talking about everybody all the time. Even when they rebuke you. Even when they give you that funny look. Even when you feel like you felt something. And the whole time, that devil's fighting you. I'm going to tell you a story real quick. Is it all right to tell you a story? Because this is, I just got told this at work. The guy at work, his dad, he's going to church. And he had this accident, cut all his fingers off, except for like two of them, and one of them was his middle finger. I'm just telling you this because it's true. But you know what? The preacher of his church drove by. And he seen him driving by. And waved like that. And all he had hanging up there was that middle finger. Yeah. I'm telling you something here. This is funny. Come on. But you know what happened? He hadn't been to church for a while when he seen that preacher and waved at him. So preacher comes out to the house. I believe it's come out to the house the next week or something like that. Because he is just absolutely flustered and angry. That preacher comes up to him and says, "Hey, notice you haven't been in church for a while. Everything all right?" He said, "Yeah, everything's going great. You know, I just had some things going on, you know, and da, da, da." He's like, "Oh, well, I think you're mad at me or something, huh?" He's like, "Why would I be mad at you?" He said, "Well, last week, I kind of drove by and you flipped me off." The guy said, "Well, what do you, like that?" He said, "Well, yeah, you flipped me off. I know what I see." The guy pulls his hand out and he's only got that finger sitting there. He said that minister blushed so hard, he could hardly move himself. And he had to walk off. He said, sorry. But you know what? That guy didn't mean no harm. He didn't mean no harm by not going to church. He still liked the guy. He's waving at the guy. But he was just waving the guy everything he had. But you know what? I told the guy at work, I said, "Could you imagine what kind of mental punishment that preacher put himself in before he went to that guy's house to confront him about that? For a whole week. You know how it is. We ain't even flipping each other off. And you sit there like, I know so-and-so don't like me. Come on, pucker them lips up. You know it's the truth. And the whole time, you just don't know what everybody else is going through. That poor guy had all his fingers cut off. He had pretty good reason to be missing church, didn't he? But, you see, why in the world am I going this direction? I know I'm getting long-winded too, but you know you're enjoying that one. But you see what it is? You can't pick and choose everything 100%. None of us can. You think I'm staying up here, I'm the perfect pastor? help me. I made mistakes.
Come on, brother.
Just like you have. Hey, I will tell you right now, this is the most loving church I've ever seen and ever been in. This church right here, right now.
Come on, brother.
I'm saying that as 100% factual in my life. I've been in some real doozies, trust me. But you know what? This is coming down to your expectation in the Word. You have the right interpretation of the Word. Don't miss it.
Stick right on it. But you got to let all these other little things, let them go. Look at the word. If you look at the union that's coming, you just keep on standing. Oh, no, 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 no. That shouldn't be what motivates you. What motivates you for this rapture is your love for Jesus Christ. Finishing our quote, and I'm going to quit because I'm going real long now. That's the way he answers our prayer, in the way that he thinks is best. And his way is always right. If we ask for anything and it doesn't happen just the way God or the way we think that God ought to let it happen, then that makes us lose and fall back. Let's ask God, stand firm on the word, and say it's true. And just receive it the way he sends it. That's the way you got to believe God. It may come disguised. It may come in another way, a roundabout way. But no matter what way it comes, if we have asked, we shall receive. We bring it all back down to the faith with your expectation. And that means it's got to happen. Say, oh, God, I need a new car. And God brings you an old car that runs really good. You're like, God, I asked for a new car. God gave you a car. That just come out. Right? You asked for a, God, give me a home, and God puts you in an apartment. You asked God for a job. I'm going to skip that one. Come on. Would we be humble enough to say, God, put me in a tomato field? Come on. Not me. And people got more money, huh? Anyway. But you see what this is? You asked it in faith. God will bring it. Don't you worry. That's every one of us. So notice, it says, now Moses, no, let me skip that because I told you I'm going to be long. I want us to see Jacob. The prophet says, and then Jacob, all disturbed, perplexed, and in trouble, set his wives across the little brook, went back on the other side in an unexpected place and an unexpected time, and he met God in an unexpected way. Esau is coming. He just got rid of Laban. And what? Then he's got to go meet Esau. And then he sends his wives to die before him. Insane. And then what? It says, what a way to meet God in a wrestling match. He said, regardless of whether he's in a burning bush or a wrestling match, it was God. Now, I didn't finish all that off, but when you find out, what happened with the wrestling match? He felt God coming on, so he had to fight to keep him. You feel God coming around? Oh, don't you let him go. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. You get God. Amen. Let's stand. Come on. You know how we are, church. We're still human. We still have a flesh to overcome. Your prophet, he told about Isaiah. Isaiah, there he was crying out to God for his sins, and then all of a sudden he's caught up with the angels saying, holy, holy, holy. Getting a coal tossed on his mouth. Unexpected time, unexpected place, in an unexpected way. Amen. Suddenly. What are you looking for? Suddenly. How are you going to get it? Suddenly. Because what? Amen. Suddenly was built on the expectation. They were up in the upper room for an expectation. Isaiah was praying there in expectation that God would hear him. Jacob didn't know what he was doing. All he knew is he couldn't handle it and something had to do something. And God brought it. Hallelujah. What are you expecting? I'm expecting to go home, brother. Well, you're going to get exactly what you were looking for. But if you're expecting God to do something unexpected, you're right with your mindset. Is it too late for God to do something? I better check the time. Because I don't want to tear down your expectation, but I want to do this. So you'll think about this. It's 8:57. What's your expectation say? He should have quit at 8 o'clock. He should have quit at 8:30. 8:30, we should have been rolling around an hour. He should have been done. 8:50. Oh, I couldn't handle it. He should have been. 8:57. Come on, brother, quit. How long is too long for God? What if God was going to come tomorrow? When you want to say, oh, God, Lord, that 4 hours you were talking about sounds pretty good right now. But we don't have that expectation. Do you have faith behind that expectation? Lest suddenly he come. I'm wanting to be on the other side of suddenly. Not the unawares, but the aware and the pouring out of the Holy Ghost of the quotes that we read and the scriptures that we talked about. Amen? You believe that you're in line? Come on. I told you 8:57. What are you thinking? What's going in your mind? We've got to change ourselves. You want to be in heaven for all eternity with the praises of God constantly, with the word unfolding constantly, and you can't even handle an hour and a half sermon and a half hour worship. 2 hours twice a week. Who's going to do the math? 24 times 7. 2, 4 hours. 4 hours a week. Out of 100. I know I got some number crunchers out there. You got a piece of paper, come on. But 100 some hours. 148? Oh, I knew it. 148 hours. You can have 144 to do whatever you want for yourself. How about just 4 hours for God? Huh? Thank you, Seth. That makes it even look worse. Don't you even feel worse now? 168. But you see, doesn't God deserve more than 4 hours? I really wish that I was in condition. God, let me be in condition. I want to pull on your word for 2 hours of preaching. And when I get 2 hours and I can't get it, I just want more. I want 3. I want 4. I want the ministers to be passing out on me. I love the word of God that much. That's how much I want to love it. If I want to be praising God throughout all eternity, what's another 2 songs with Dave, Brother Dave, after service? Do you expect the unexpected God? A lot of times he'll come after service. A lot of times he can't come after service because we already went home. Up here. I'm so sorry, it's 9:01. You love God? Amen. How much of your time is this rapture worth to you? Is this God worth to you? Is this God you call your husband worth to you? You know what it is. For you who ain't got TV and you who do. You ain't got no problem watching 3 hours of TV. 3 hours of YouTube videos. Playing games on there for 3 hours. You ain't got no problems. But we get in church. Oh, Lord. Oh, just hanging on. He still got me standing up. I can't stand. You love God? Don't you love him a little bit more now? I mean, it's kind of rebuking, but I did in a funny way. But I just want you to understand that this is the real deal. What are you expecting? Are you expecting service to be over? It's over then. I'm done. Are you done? Your God just spake to you. If you'd like to worship a little bit, you can. If you're ready to go home, you can go home. Whatever you want to give God, whatever he's worth to you, you go ahead and give him that. Let's sing that song we sang on Sunday. Now let's pray first. Musicians could come if you'd like. We'd like to pray. How many would like to say, with every head bowed, that God, I want to expect you. But God, I just really want to know who I am and that you have that plan for me. That's what's coming, Lord. And that's the word that you're trying to get me to focus on, God. Lord, I want to be able, Lord, to sit in your presence, God, while the word's going out, while the songs are going forth, and just to enjoy what eternity is. Because, God, I know that we're seated in heavenly places right now with this word coming forth. The Holy Ghost talking to us, God. Lord, I want to be able to handle this, God. I want to know this, God. I want to believe this, God. Lord, give us strength, God. If that's your desire, just raise your hand. Let's pray to him now. Our most beloved Lord Jesus Christ, God, as the word come forth tonight, Lord, perhaps is a little long, God, but Lord, I believe it is you, Lord. And God, I just pray, Lord, that you'd add, Lord, your emphasis on this word in the children of God's hearts, Lord. Oh God, may it settle in their hearts, God, that this is what we focus on. This is what we have faith on, God. That we are that unexpected people in an unexpected age, God, with an unexpected time in an unexpected place, God, that's getting ready to happen right here, Lord. God, just like your prophet said, he said, if you could do that in the unexpected, what could you do in the expected? God, we expect you, Lord. We have the revealed word. We know where we're seated at, God. Fill us with that Holy Ghost, God. Let us get in one accord, Lord. Let us get full of love, full of desire, full of a heart that really loves you, God, with no time in our heart, Lord. But we've passed on into eternity. Help us, God. We pray. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. God, I love you. Let's sing that song. You deserve the glory and the honor. You deserve the glory, oh, and the honor. Lord, we lift our hands in worship as we call upon your name. Oh, you deserve the glory.
Oh, yes, you do, Lord.
And the honor. There is no one. deserve the glory. Oh, you deserve the glory. If you have need a prayer, if you have need a prayer. Oh, and the honor, Lord, we lift our hands in worship as we glorify your name. Oh, you deserve the glory. You deserve it, Lord, and the honor.
Lord, we lift our hands in worship as we glorify your name. For you are great. You do miracles so great. There is no one else like you. Hallelujah, Lord. There is no one else like you. You are great. You do miracles so great. There is no one else like you. Oh, there is no one else like you. You are great, Lord, for you. In prisoner's chains, with bleeding stripes, Paul and Silas prayed that night, and in their pain began to sing. Their chains were loose and they went free. I bless your name. I bless your name. I give you honor. I give you praise. You
Saints. Amen. To sing that song, change my heart, oh God. You are the potter, I am the clay. Change my heart, oh God. Oh God, make it ever true. When I think about the Lord.